God bless you all. What an anointed time of worship and praise we have this morning. It felt like we were in the presence of angels, and the voices of the congregation were so rich in the proclamation of the fact that that God's love is so wonderful and that he loves us so greatly. It's almost like our praise was a testimony about his love, his agape love. And truly God is good and has been good to us. And it's like we were reciprocating that love back to the Lord, affirming the fact that, Lord, because you love us, we love you too. And it's just such a blessing this morning. Somebody ought to just give him praise one more time. Hallelujah. He's worthy of praises. He's worthy of praises. He's worthy of praises. He's worthy of praises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Glory. 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 And as Sister Janine says, boy, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. And if you have ever experienced that, your heart should just be overwhelmed with the fact that, when I was deep in my sins, when I was lost and heading into the pit of hell, the Lord himself stretched his hands out and raised me up and brought me to a place that I can receive of the Lord himself all of the blessings of the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God, we thank you this morning. Thank you. And I acknowledge always the leadership of the Apostolic Church, Pastor Daniel Henry, Sister Henry, Pastor Fiani, Sister Fiani, and all of the members in their respective offices. It is always my pleasure. And my love for you is as deep as your love for me and my wife. I really do love the membership of the Apostolic Church. Sister Bennett read the scripture this morning with such expression. It was just an expressive reading, doing justice to the scripture. And I thought for a moment when she touched on my focus verse this morning, verse 41, that she was getting ready to preach the message herself. But it is my focus verse this morning is going to be on verse 41. Thanks to Sister Janine. What a blessing it always is to hear you lead in worship. And to Sister Christine for your warm welcome and the challenge to us to wait upon him and to trust him. And it's a blessing. As Pastor Henry declared, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continuously be in my mouth. And I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my strength. God, we bless you tonight, this morning, as we enter this time of reading your word and proclaiming your word. We thank you that your presence is with us. Because your word declares when a blessing goes up and praises go up, the blessings come down. And we thank you that in the midst of us, you are gathered with us this morning. God, I bless you, Father, for each one in our congregation, each one in our midst, those listening by the various means, various platforms that we have. And I thank you, O God Almighty, and decree today that your word will have an impact on somebody's life beyond where they are now. I pray and I decree and declare that if there is anyone whose mind is not sown this morning, that your word is able to deliver. And I thank you, O God, for your precious blood that was shed. Father, we give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Recently, I was in a time of Bible study, preparing a time of Bible study for a group, and the Lord laid upon my heart to tell them that we must be conscious of the unseen things. We must have an awareness and an understanding of the unseen things. Because the things that we see are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And always in the scripture there is this unseen, the unseen hand of God that is at work. There's the unseen hand of God in our lives, even as we gather and even as we listen to his word and even as we worship him. There is a move of God that is taking place that we can't even see. And I thank God for that. And I share it with you because I want us to be conscious that there's some unseen things that is taking place in the spiritual realm that you will, by and by, you will get to see that was the hand of God. As the disciples uttered, surely the Lord was in this place. Didn't our hearts burn because of the unseen hands of God? I want to read our scriptures this morning. It's from Matthew 26, verse 37 for 41. And just for the purpose of just reading again, and I want to just read it yet again. And it says, verse 37, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He says, tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. From these words, I'd like to use a question as a title this morning. And it is this: can God count on you?
Yes.
Today is Communion Sunday, is breaking of bread. And in a couple of Sundays from now, we will commemorate the Lord's crucifixion and resurrection. But between the cup of communion and the crucifixion, there was a place called Gethsemane.
Yes.
And we want to visit Gethsemane this morning.
Yes,
Gethsemane was a familiar place to Jesus and his disciples because Jesus went there very often to pray, as is recorded in the Gospels in Luke chapter 22. And verse 39, for example, it says, and he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him, as he often did, right? And then in John chapter 18, verse 1 and 2, I'm reading from the King James Version in most of these, and it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. So it's a place that was familiar. They have been to this place very, very often. It's a place of prayer. Jesus would just stay away and resort to pray in that place. They were familiar with this place. They was familiar with this place of prayer. And every one of us should have a familiar place of prayer where we go often. It's not that it's the one place, but there should be this special place where it's set aside as, so to speak, as our place of worship, our altar, so to speak. Where it is a regular, consistent pattern where we get to this place, and the purpose of it is for prayer. And so Gethsemane was a place where they often go to with Jesus for prayer. This time as they went to Gethsemane, it was a pivotal moment in Jesus' ministry. Because a confrontation between death and a terrible trial was about to take place. Gethsemane, it's called the oil press. It's a place of olive trees where olives were crushed. And the farmers in Jerusalem would gather at the base of Mount Olives when they have gathered their crops, and they would crush the olives to produce wine. So it was a place of crushing. The oil press. Earlier in Matthew 26, same chapter, it is recorded that at this Last Supper, Jesus told his disciples that one of them shall betray him. In fact, it says, verse 21 to verse 22, it says, and you could follow me in your Bibles, it says, and as they did eat, he said, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. In verse 22 records, and they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say, Lord, is it I? No one felt exempt. Each of them felt like it is possible that I can betray my Lord. And so the scripture says they got exceeding sorrowful because they received bad news. Things seemed to be going well. And then they got this bad news, so to speak. One of you shall betray me. There's one among you that shall betray me. And everybody was sorrowful. It didn't exempt anybody. Everyone was exceeding sorrowful. Have you ever had like bad news to interrupt what seems like a good day? For example, the doctor says, the boss says, we have to lay off. Or somebody even called to say, you fill in the blanks. So and so, fill in the blank. But these are bad news on a day when it seemed like things were going well, things were going good. And such was it when Jesus proclaimed to them that one of you shall betray me. Verse 36 says Jesus took them to this place called Gethsemane. And I must say that at this place, their fellowship with each other and with Jesus experienced a crushing. Why? Because at the end it says that Jesus was taken and they all scattered. This wonderful fellowship that they had become accustomed to over these 3 years had gotten to a point of crushing because, as the scripture says, and Jesus was fulfilling the scripture, strike the shepherd, he scatter the sheep. So, in verse 37 to verse 39. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Same wording that is referred to the condition of the disciples. But his sorrow was of a greater sorrow though. His sorrow was for a different purpose. He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. He says, tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little further. And fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou will. He said to them, listen, my soul is gone into a place of sorrow. He went to a place of great agonizing sorrow. He says, it's almost like this sorrow is of such that it is pulling life out of me. He has never experienced that before. No other human being has ever experienced this kind of sorrow. And he's telling his disciples, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. There are lessons you learn in the time of sorrow and in the place of crushing. Many lessons to be learned in times of sorrow and in the place of crushing. One of them is that when you are weak, God is strong. Hallelujah. And that his strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. Glory, hallelujah. Another is that when your heart is overwhelmed, there's a rock. There's a rock that is higher than I. Nobody wants to be in sorrow or in the place of crushing. But if you get there, know that God is a present help in times of trouble. Know that he's a present help in, he's there with you in a time of sorrow. Hallelujah. Between verses 39 and 45, it is recorded that he left them and went to pray three times. Somebody said three times.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. After the first time, he returned and he said to them in verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Watching and praying prepares you for temptation, trials, and attacks. Let me say that again. Watching and praying prepares you for temptation, trials, and attacks. It prepares you for the works of darkness that comes. As a matter of fact, it sharpens your discernment. When you get into the place of watching and praying, it sharpens your discernment. You are better equipped for battle from watching and praying. And it teaches you to rely on a source greater than yourself, God himself. Now, the disciples, being Jews, were familiar with the discipline and the process of watching and praying, because that was a standard in Jewish culture. They had to be people on watch. I'll read a couple of scriptures from Isaiah 21, 11 and 12. It talks about, it says, the burden of Duma, he called it to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye. Return, come. The watchman is expected to give a report for his shift, to give an account for the assignment, for the responsibilities, and the duties entrusted to him. The concept is the watchman on the wall that Isaiah mentions in chapter 62, verse 6 and 7, where the Lord says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. You that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. This morning, Sister Janine led us through Psalm 34, where it talks about, bless the Lord, O my, bless the Lord, all his servants, which gather in the house of the Lord by night. And that's where that song, that praise came from. So he says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. May I take it to us? I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Apostolic Church in America.
Yes. Yes.
Can I take it even closer? Whoever your name is, set your name there. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, Dean and Pastor Henry and yes. Pastor Fiani and all of you, I have set watchmen upon your wall, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. When you think you are in a battle all by yourself, somebody somewhere is praying for you. The network of God is so vast and so intricate that people you have never encountered who don't even know you is praying for you. And then on top of this, that there is this one that has loved us so much, that is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession continuously for us. So they've become familiar with this principle and the discipline and the concept of the watchman. And a watchman is supposed to be discerning and know what's going on. Not miss anything. Be on guard. You know, there's when there's a crime in any area and the police investigation starts, the police always want to find people who know the rhythm of the street during the specific hours when the crime is committed. So it could be a homeless person. If it's just deep in the night, then it might be a homeless person, or it might be someone that's coming from work. It might be someone who's on the night shift. So they are always looking for someone who knows the rhythm of the street. And a lot of the things you observe when seemingly nothing has happened becomes extremely important evidence when things happen. You might overlook something and say, oh, you know what? I just saw a little fellow. He was just going about his business aimless. But I noticed he kept holding up his pants like he had something in his pocket. And if you're not discerning, you might miss that evidence. So that's the purpose of watchmen. So, as a matter of fact, when you thought nothing was happening, what you observe are really signs of things happening. And same thing in your spiritual watch. When you think nothing is happening, hallelujah, the unseen hand of God is at work because something is always happening.
Yes, sir.
Elijah's servant says, listen, I don't see anything. He says, go and look again.
Yes, sir.
So there's something that's happening. You haven't seen it yet, but something is happening. And so in First Thessalonica chapter 5 and 6, we have been enjoined to follow this. It says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, this thing is just amazing because Jesus is preparing for the final hour when you go down to verse 45 of betrayal by praying. He's preparing for this final hour by praying. But he found his disciples asleep. The betrayal is coming and Jesus is praying because of what is ahead. But his disciples were asleep. Now, how often do we miss the moment? I ask myself, how often do we miss the moment? How often do we miss assignments? For whatever reason. How often do we miss the moment? I think every morning when we wake up, we should tell ourselves, this is my moment, I have an assignment.
Yeah.
Every day we should acknowledge to ourselves, this is my moment, I have an assignment. Because we never know when that moment will come. When there's a requirement of God. And we don't want to miss that moment, nor to miss the assignment. So the thought to ponder is, can God count on me? Or can God count on you? Have you ever been going through a situation and someone you depended upon to be there for you is just not there? Like these disciples? Or before you even start to think about who failed you in that situation, have you ever been expected to be there for someone and you failed? That's a whole other question. Because now it puts the ball in our court to be ready. Let's read verse 41 again so that we don't miss what's going on here. And it says this. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to just rest on it for a moment. In this one verse, verse 41, he gives instruction. Watch and pray. He gives a reason that you enter not into temptation. He gives hope. The flesh is willing. But then he gives a caution, the flesh is weak. My God. Instruction, watch and pray. The reason that you do not enter into temptation. and inadequacies of the flesh. Not because he has experienced failures of the flesh, but because he has mastered it.
Yes.
He has mastered the flesh. He has triumphed over it. So there's nobody more qualified than him to let us know about the inadequacies of the flesh. And so he cautions his disciples, the flesh is weak. Why we know he's qualified to do this? In the Hebrews, he talks about, Hebrews chapter 10, he says, prepare me a body. In verse 5, he says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Hallelujah. And he says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. In verse 7, Hebrews chapter 10 still, says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Jesus was qualified, more qualified to tell us about the weaknesses of the flesh, because he took on the form of man. God himself took on the form of man. Jesus himself, who came and lived in this flesh, is telling them, acknowledging to them, educating them, and you and I, that the flesh is weak. Having experienced humanness, he tells them, flesh is weak. That it is not something to depend upon. You cannot depend upon the flesh. That's why he came. Now, if a teacher who writes an exam tells the students that this upcoming exam is a hard one, the teacher is saying to the student, take heed and prepare your best, right? The one who writes the exam is saying, listen, this exam is hard. This upcoming one is going to be hard. So the teacher is saying, be diligent. Prepare your best. Now the great teacher, the rabbi, is saying, my father set this test. I took the test. I passed the test. And I'm telling you that flesh is weak. Watch and pray. That's what he's saying to them. I've mastered it. Watch and pray. And so as you read that, some questions come to mind, like, watch for what? Watch for who? Or pray for what? Pray for who? If they were watching and praying, perhaps they would get a master class from a master teacher of how to triumph over the flesh to please the Father in the midst of great sorrow. Perhaps they would have witnessed a masterful exhibit of the Spirit triumphing over the flesh. Can you imagine what they would have witnessed? And just in case you think this might just be something that we're thinking of, these are the same three disciples that witnessed the transfiguration. These same disciples, Peter, James, and John, they went to the mount with Jesus. Jesus took them into the high mountain. And he was transfigured before them. The Bible says his face shined as the sun. And his raiment was as white as the light. They experienced the transfiguration. So can you imagine what they might have experienced if they had just stayed awake and watch and pray with Jesus? Who knows? And when they saw the transfiguration, Peter answered and said, he said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. This is marvelous, he was saying. If thou wilt let us make three tabernacles, he wanted. One for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. They experienced the transfiguration. They marveled at it. They saw the supernatural power of God on display like nobody else has experienced it. But there came a point in time when they went to the And they were crushed in their spirit, even as the Savior himself was exceeding sorrowful and crushed in his spirit. Notice he never said it was easy. Jesus never said to us, it is easy in the flesh. And perhaps he's saying to somebody today, I know it's not easy.
Yes.
He said, if nobody knows what you're going through, he does. I do. When his children of Israel cried out to him in the book of Exodus, the Lord answered and said, as a matter of fact, he said to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Hallelujah. Somebody say, he knows my sorrow. He knows my crushing. He knows my pain.
Yes, he does.
He knows when I'm disappointed. He knows when I get to that place where my heart is overwhelmed. He knows my sorrows. But he says, now I've come down. I'm coming down to give them help.
Yes,
so here are some things that we can actually learn from Jesus in the hour of agonizing sorrow.
Yes,
and perhaps the disciples would have learned it as well. And one of them is,
yes,
Jesus got alone with God the Father. He needed to be alone with God. He fell on his face. The Bible later informed us how he dropped sweats of blood.
Yes.
Number two is that he prayed. Prayer is first in everything and prayer is last as well.
Yes.
Number three, Jesus inquired of God to remove the cup if possible. It's the human nature is clearly seen here. If it is possible. Then number four, Jesus inquired, accepted God's will as the best option.
Yes.
This is the divine nature. He accepted God's will as the divine nature.
Yes, sir.
When we get up from our knees, our final affirmation must be, thy will be done.
Thy
will be done.
Yes, sir.
Always, when we get up off our knees, the final affirmation must be, thy will be done. We must learn to surrender to the divine will, just as our Lord Jesus did.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Gethsemane, this oil press. And almost symbolically, here was Christ, whose soul was being crushed. His life was being pulled out of him. And saying, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, not my will. Thy will be done. And every time we face our sorrows and disappointment and crushing, we must have a nevertheless in us.
Yes.
When trouble is breathing on every side, say nevertheless.
Yes.
When we don't have the answer, nevertheless. When we're facing great sorrows, great pain, nevertheless. Whatever affliction, nevertheless. Because like Jesus, some sweet day you're going away. Some sweet day when this life is over. Some sweet day you're going away. Jesus was preparing for his going away. So in your moments of weakness and failure, remember that you have a Savior that did not fail the test. The great teacher. And he did it so that we may know and have assurance that we too can triumph in moments of despair and doubt and fear and sorrows and all that we face in life.
Yes. Yes.
And he made a promise to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. He says, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And God is saying to somebody this morning that I've been through the fire and I've been through the flood. I'm there with you. I'm going through with you. Peter later discovered what we learn in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 30. We learned this in the scripture. But it was Peter who failed. And he says, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 30 says, and I'm reading from the Amplified, says, if we are faithless, that is, do not believe and are untrue to him, he remains true, faithful to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. So in your moment of failures, remember that there's a teacher that has gone through it, that is walking through your journey with you, and that he is faithful even when we are faithless. So Jesus is commanding them, watch and pray. Now, watching and praying, it is a pipeline. It's a connector between you and God. It's like Jacob's ladder that goes from earth to heaven. It's a connector. In the place of watching and praying, there is a connection between your earthly sorrows and the heavenly answer from God. There's a connection between your Father in heaven and you upon the earth. Watching and praying is a connector between you and God. And Jacob's ladder, Jacob had this dream and this about this ladder. Genesis chapter 28, verse 13. It says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Aran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. I want to go back to the top of that. Please find Genesis chapter 28 in your Bibles. Chapter 28 verse 10 to verse 13. Because I want you to see that watching and praying is a connector between earth and heaven. And so let me start again. It says, and Jacob went from Beersheba and went towards Aran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took off the stones of that place and put them for his pillars, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. They were going up and down. Verse 13 is critical. It says, and what, behold, the Lord what stood above it.
Yes.
And he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereof thou liest, to thee will I give it, to thy seed. The Lord himself was at the top of this ladder that connected earth to heaven. And that's why I say watching and praying is a pipeline and a connector between you and God.
Yes, sir.
And as I read these words here in this 28th chapter of Genesis 10 to 13, I observed that each of these verses actually starts with the word and Jacob, verse 10, and he lighted, verse 11, and he dreamed, verse 12, and behold, verse 13. And in the English language, and, the word and is a connector. It connects one thing to the other. And so I'm encouraging us that in our place of sorrow, Jesus set an example for us. And he exhorted us to watch and pray, because there's a temptation that is at hand. But it says the spirit is willing, but be cautious, because this flesh is weak. I don't know who is facing the time of temptation now, but we touch and agree, and we stand in the name of Jesus to decree and to declare that the Lord himself is standing up in heaven and he's watching, and he has the answer for you, because your watching and your prayer is connecting where you are to heaven. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
So in this place of agony, as Jesus was prepared for this trial, this betrayal, he went and prayed. And that's why the Lord is calling us back to a place of watching and praying.
Hallelujah.
Because as the scripture says, there are perilous times that are ahead. We are in a perilous season.
Yes.
And somebody might be here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'm inviting you to his presence and to connect with God's will for your life. There's one here, just let me know. God wants you to connect with him so that you may know his will for your life.
Yes.
And this communion Sunday, as we break bread, God wants somebody to connect with him. Religion doesn't work.
Yeah.
Practicing religion is not it. You must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Anybody here this morning that just needs to connect back with the Father? Somebody might have gotten weary in their travels and just need some help. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for the one that is struggling but is acknowledging right now that, Lord, I have fallen away from the place of watching and praying. I've been distracted. But I thank you for your reminder that the Spirit is willing and that you have already triumphed over the flesh. You have mastered the flesh and you are our example. God, I bless you, oh God, for the soul that was lost but today is acknowledging that I am a sinner and I need to be saved. And I thank you for the presence of your Spirit, Father, that is bringing conviction. And I thank you for the soul that says today, yes, Lord,
yes.
Not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.